týmu Donalda Trumpa připravoval jeho nástup do prezidentského úřadu v oblasti energetiky. Během své kariéry se jako analytik věnoval obranné politice a jaderné energetice. Jack Spencer z amerického konzervativního think tanku Heritage Foundation, welcome.
Thank you.
You started out as a defense analyst. Is Donald Trump an unguided missile?
He's the president of the United States. I think he's actually very guided. He has said where he wants to go, and he seems to be going in that direction. Now, I can't speak for the president, nor do I know what's in his heart, but from an economic standpoint, which is really what my expertise is, and now, though, as you pointed out, I've had a history with other issues. He's focused on economic growth. He's focused on relieving the American economy from a heavy tax burden and a regulatory burden in order to create jobs. And that seems to be the kind of thing that he's focusing on so far.
I wasn't asking what he was focusing on, but to what extent you can predict what he will say or do.
Well, I can't predict what anyone can say or do. I can barely predict what I can say or do, so I wouldn't make such predictions.
So what were your thoughts, for instance, when he recently said that North Korean threats will be met with fire and fury?
I think that he is the president, and he's engaged in in different foreign policy activities, and one of those is the messages that presidents put out. I think that we can't take President Trump's tweets or offhanded comments as the totality of his policy. I think both in the lead up to that point in time and what happened after, we see an emerging policy against North Korea where the president and his administration seems to be building a strategic case against North Korea that is trying to compel them one way or the other to discontinue their threatening behavior.
Well, a senior White House official told Reuters that this remark that I was just quoting was unplanned and spontaneous. So can president's spontaneity be actually dangerous for the United States from your point of view, obviously?
I'm not really sure what that question even means. Spontaneity is a human thing, and I don't know that the president making offhanded comments is dangerous, but that would be outside of my particular area of expertise.
You were on President's transition team at the Department of Energy, and this team actually sparked quite a controversy when it sent out a memo with 65 questions. Among other things, you asked for the names of people who worked on climate change policies under Barack Obama. Why did you need their names?
I had nothing to do with those questions, and all of the activities that were done as part of the transition were part of the transition, so I can't really comment on those.
Well, because some people at the department feared a witch hunt, so there's nothing you would know about that.
About a witch hunt? No, absolutely not.
And your personal explanation for this need of a list of names of people who worked on the climate policy under Barack Obama?
Well, I have no explanation for it. As I said, I wasn't involved in any questions asking for specific names, and so...
So you were not even interested in knowing why they needed these names? I mean, your colleagues, if not you personally?
It has nothing to do with me. I have no insight or any comment that would add anything on that. It would just be pure speculation.
One of the other questions was about help for nuclear power plants that are facing problems in the U.S. because of cheaper electricity from natural gas. Mm-hmm. I assume that you, as a conservative, are ideologically against subsidies of any kind.
Of any kind, yeah.
Why helping nuclear plants then?
I certainly am not for helping nuclear plants. I can't comment in reference to the questions or anything to do with the transition. That's a separate thing, but I can comment from my own perspective, which is subsidies don't help industry. Subsidies distort industry and make them less competitive over time. As a pro-nuclear person, I'm very opposed to government intervention into the nuclear industry.
In no case.
Well, no case is a very broad statement in any case that I have thought of.
So you couldn't think of any exception?
I have not.
If I reformulate my question.
I have yet to think of an exception where I would support subsidies for any energy industry. You may throw one on the table right now that might spark a different perspective, but I haven't come across one yet.
You were speaking about what you didn't do in the transition team. So, for example, you were not responsible for this request for the list of names of people who were working for the climate administration under Obama. Mm-hmm. So what were you responsible of?
I was part of a team. It's all a matter of public record. A small team of people who went in post the election prior to inauguration to look at the Department of Energy and try to put together sort of a guidebook for the new secretary, so that when the new secretary would come in, he wouldn't come in blindsided. Sort of lay out what the department is. We talked to the people in the department to find out where the problems were, what's working really well, and issues where, that was kind of it, kind of laying out it, providing a guidebook of sorts. It wasn't a policy driven exercise, but rather a preparation for the new secretary exercise.
If we now get back to the present, to what President Trump is doing right now, he, for instance, doesn't seem to care about carbon emissions. After all, he left the Paris climate deal.
Well, I think that the Paris climate deal doesn't do much for carbon emissions, so I think those are two separate things. The Paris climate deal, really, let's look at it, is an economic deal, not an environmental deal. But go ahead with your question.
No matter whether it is a climate or economic deal, was it a good decision for Donald Trump to leave it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can you argument on it further?
Yeah, it would hurt the U.S. economy. It would do nothing for the environment. Every country should leave it because their populations would be far better off to gain, to build economic growth so they can deal with whatever environmental problems may come forward in the future, rather than having some global artificial restriction on energy development. Yeah.
A common concern related to nuclear power is safety. You seem to have downplayed those concerns in some of your older opinion pieces. So after accidents in Three Mile Island, Chernobyl and Fukushima, do you still see nuclear power as safe?
Extraordinarily safe. Those were, industrial accidents happen all the time, but let's look at each of them. Three Mile Island, there was very little radiation released. No one was hurt, no one was injured. Chernobyl was an accident caused by a bunch of militaristic communists who didn't know how to run a nuclear power plant, using a technology that was inherently unsafe. And then Fukushima was a horrible accident that was the result of a series of oversight and engineering problems, and I would argue regulatory problems that did not allow the Japanese to respond appropriately when that happened. So that was not a underlying technology problem, but rather a management of nuclear energy problem.
What if you were wrong?
What if any of us are wrong about anything? If you look at the history of nuclear energy, especially private sector commercial nuclear energy, it's extraordinarily safe. I'd put its safety record up against any industrial activity. I'm most familiar with the United States, and in the United States, no one's ever been hurt, injured, or anything like that as a result of commercial private nuclear energy. Where you start to get problems is when governments get involved. You get the wrong incentives that distort sort of the behaviors of those running the nuclear industry.
I was actually asking you about this theoretical possibility of you being wrong, because you already were wrong once in the past, given the fact you were among analysts who stated that Saddam Hussein's Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, which turned out not to be true.
Well, I don't know if that was true or not, but I certainly wouldn't claim to never have been wrong. I don't know that any of us have ever been wrong. If you look back at that time, if you look at all of the evidence coming from the UN, all of our political leaders, I don't think it was a stretch to conclude that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. So I'm perfectly comfortable with that assessment back then. I'm still not convinced that he didn't have them. If you remember, at the time during the invasion, there were massive swaths of manpower and other equipment that went over borders. Things can get hit. I don't know if he had them or not, but at the time, the preponderance of evidence, I think, generally agreed, was that he did have weapons of mass destruction. The debate was not whether he had weapons of mass destruction, but what should we do about it?
Jack Spencer, thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you.